Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you again for all the wonderful testimonies of your great faithfulness to show forth his loving kindness every morning and his faithfulness every night. Lord, what a glorious and awesome God that you are, caring for us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Thank you for caring for us, Lord. So much so that you even number the very hairs of our head. That's how much you care. Father, we thank thee, Lord. Lord, daily loading us with benefits. Lord, we thank thee, Father. Now, Lord, as we open this your word this morning, you are the author of it. We just depend upon you. We are not of ourselves sufficient, no sufficient. Our sufficiency is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the word of God, the author of the word. So we just depend upon you this morning, that as we read this morning, whatever we read in the Lord God will be mixed with faith in every one of us, and profit us in the days to come, and even now. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Please turn to me, with me to the book of Psalms, the 8th chapter. We will probably read about the first 4 verses. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heaven. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest kill the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to take, by the grace of God, a text from the third verse, when it says, when I consider the heaven. So I want to start with considering the heaven this morning. Considering the heaven. Now, when the scripture pluralizes the word heaven, because it says the heavens, right? How many heavens there are there? How many heavens there are? So the Bible uses the word heaven and heavens in different contexts, you know. So, and for example, in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, second verse, Apostle Paul, writing by divine inspiration, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such and one cut off to the third heaven. To the third heaven, right? So, I'll ask how many heavens there are. Say to the third heaven. How that he was cut off into paradise, and had unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So right there we see that that third heaven is paradise. We know when before Christ rose from the dead, paradise used to be down together with Hades and so forth, you know. But Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is, he took captivity captives, right? Gave this unto men. So when he rose from the dead, the Lord took paradise out of down, took it to the third heaven. That's what he's talking about here. So the saints of God are passed on this day. They don't go down, and they go to paradise. Their body may be in the grave, but they go to paradise in the very vicinity of the presence of God. That's what Apostle was saying here. Anyway, now, so if God talks about the third heaven, I mean, is there a first and second heaven? Where are we thinking so in our own thinking? The Bible didn't say so. But I will see like this. So the atmosphere around our heart, you know, including, you know, how we call that the first heaven there, you know. Then beyond our own heart, you know, going out of our own heart and so forth, you know, going our moon, our sun, and then, you know, there is even to the stars and the galaxies and so on, that, you know, I will call them the second heaven. So the third heaven is the very presence of God, right? So this morning, by the grace of God, so in context, I want to talk about what I will call the second heaven, you know, I mean, so, or even the first and the second together, you know, beginning from our own heart, our solar system, and then all the way to, as I'm about to know, by the grace of God. In other words, we're talking about the Bible revelation of the stellar universe, you know, by the grace of God. You know, God works in series, right? And, you know, for example, he has three titles, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's not a name, these are titles, right? He manifests himself in three offices, you know, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the same personality, you know. So, and you can't, as far as the Jew is concerned, you can't chop God into three. There are no three, there's no such thing as a Trinity. There's a triune God, not Trinity, but triune God, the same person, manifests himself in three offices, you know. So, and he works in three like that, and all that, you know. So, we are told in, I think, 1 John and so forth like that, you know, I think chapter 5, so there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says the three are one. So there are no three gods, right? The three are one. There's only one God. No? Hear, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one God, we are told. So we know that. And even on earth, using number three as, you know, the way it manifests himself, he has three witnesses here. I tell you that, you know, he manifests himself in the heavens. He manifests himself also, of course, in the stone. Isaiah 19:19 says so. There's a pillar in the midst of Egypt and the border of it. Many Bible readers tell us the great pyramid of Egypt and so on like that, you know. In there are many, many secrets that match the Bible. Astronomical events and so on, and this and the great pyramid and so on that match the Bible. We know that talking about the number three and how God manifests himself and so on, like that, you know. And of course, in the Word of God, he manifests himself in his Word. Now, what I'm going to be talking about this morning is just the I call it the, you know, the continuity of the heaven and so on, like that, you know. And you know, all of those things that God manifests himself, they pollute it. You know, they take the three offices to the three gods. That's a pollution, right? The great pyramid, they came out with pyramidology. That is terrible, as you know. And also, even, you know, the heavens, they came with astrology. Perversion of the truth, isn't it? And the Bible also, they have done all kind of things with the Bible and so forth. So this morning, let's travel with me. You know, Bible says, when I consider the heavens, David, the shepherd boy, I believe, predestination put into his position and so on like that, you know. When, you know, Israel, you know, begin to reject theocracy, meaning the government of the people by God. We want to be like other nations. We want to go to our war with us and so forth. Oh, when? We want to watch all kings, you know what happened there. I will give them their own king and so forth, and that's our third king. Anyway. When the time came though, when Saul did what he had to do, you know, disobey God and all of those things and so on, that, you know, and God was to now choose a man after his own heart. He called the sons of Jesse, right? David was the youngest of them, I believe, and somebody didn't call him and so on. He was in the wilderness with the sheep, you know, was a shepherd boy and so on. I believe in those reality of the sheep, maybe sometimes being behind the night, you know. Looking to the heaven, he was a magi. He held many offices. He was a type of Christ, holding many offices and so on. He was a king. He was a prophet, you know. No, a type of Christ in so many ways and so on like that, you know. I believe if you look into the heavens and so on, then one day in the eyes of this time, people are considered the heaven. So that's why this means we are considering the heaven. If David could consider the heavens, we can do the same thing. It's scriptural, you know. And we'll see what is left in the heaven this morning by the grace of God. I will spend as little time as I can this morning and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so we're going to look, beginning from this, our heart and so forth. So, and that's why, you know, so he said, when I consider the sun, the moon, and, you know, and all of these things, he said, what is man? You know, it's all great. No telescope whatsoever, apart from even physical things. I believe God revealed to him many, many things spiritually as I was looking up and so on, that, you know. And what science come to know today, I believe, David saw, you know, all those things all together. So anyway, the highest place in the universe. Well, let's begin from there. We also travel by the Holy Ghost inspiration and the Word of God, you know, to see what is out there. Why is David exclaiming like that? Concerning the heaven and sun, you know. Now, the ancients, beginning from this earth, the ancients saw a small sun up there like we see today. They saw the moon that we have here and a few stars shining in the firmament. That was all their word to their own universe, meaning the ancient man. But the revelation from the scripture show how far they were wrong. I mean the ancient man, how far they were wrong. The scripture says what they saw was only a little portion of God's works. In Job 36 verse 7, that's why it says that. It stretches out the north over the empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. By his spirit, verse 13, by his spirit he has garnished the heavens. When I consider the heavens, right? We are going with the Bible now. I want to consider the heavens. No, he said, by his spirit he has garnished the heavens. His hand has formed the crooked serpent. That's a constellation in the heavens. I can't go in there right now. And verse 14 says, look, here's where I'm going. These are parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heart of him. The ancient man, they know very, very little of the heavens and so on like that, you know. And to that verse 14, where he says, look, these are parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him. I have another translation that reads this way. They say, lo, these are the borders of his work. Another one says, lo, how faint a whisper you have heard of him. So what the ancient man knows about the heavens is just very, very little or nothing compared to what God has here, you know. So that's what I'm trying to portray here in the book of Job, tells us there. Now, the heart, the sun, and the stars in our proximity are only the outskirts of the outline borders of God's ways. Very, very tiny, like a speck of dust, you know, and something like that, you know. Now, here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 31, 37. Thus saith the Lord. Now we are going to the God realm now. The creation, the heavens and so forth. What made David to really exclaim and to see how great our God is. 31 of Jeremiah 37. Thus saith the Lord. His heaven above can be measured. And the foundations of the earth stretch out. I will also cast off all the seed of Israel from all that they have done. Hear the Lord. So God is telling us right there, I don't care what computer you have. I don't care you have the jazz computer and so on. You can never measure the heaven. He said the Lord, right? That's what God said. I'm telling that, you know. And they have found it out today. We dig down into that by the grace of God and so on like that, you know. Can't measure the heaven. I mean, as far as man is concerned, it's infinite. And we're going to see by the word of God and by their own scientific findings. The Bible is way ahead of any kind of a science. And a true science will not contradict the Bible. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So now, let's see here. Modern astronomy has discovered or confirmed what I just read now. That the heaven cannot be measured. And I see Israel is in war right now. It's a covenant keeping God. We know they will win. If only for this scripture alone, there are a host of other scriptures. If the heaven can be measured above, and then I will forsake Israel. I know they are going to win this war like they won the seven other wars, you know, that's the only four, since 1948. Anyway, let us move forward on this track. I don't get off my subject. So Mother Astronomy has confirmed what the Bible says, that the heaven cannot be really measured. I'm going to go deep by God's grace. Now, because of the vast, let's lay the foundation here. Because of the vast distances of objects in our solar system, astronomers, don't really speak of distances in terms of miles or kilometers. No. The heaven is just too vast. They had to come up with a new unit of measurement. Now, the one they use in our solar system, they call it the astronomical unit, AU for short. Astronomical unit, one unit is the distance between the sun and our earth. That is 93 million miles. They call it astronomical, because mile and kilometer is nothing. Talking about the heavens, right? So they came up with a larger measurement within our solar system, and they call it AU, which is the distance of the sun to the moon, about 93 million miles. When you leave our solar system, then things even get more vast. They have to come up with yet another unit of measurement. They call it the light year. So the light year, they define it as the distance that light will travel in 1 year at 186,000 miles per second. That is one light year. If you calculate it, the distance that at 186,000 miles per second in 1 year, it came about 6 trillion miles. That's one light year in literal miles. That's how vast the heavens are. That you come up with that kind of measurement, So one light year is about 6 trillion miles. Calculate and under that, So anyway, we establish that kind of unit of measurement. So we are going to go into different, to different things in the heavens right now that God put there right there and under that, Now, there are many planetary systems in the universe with planets orbiting holes. With the planet orbiting holes, their host stars and so on. Remember the word of God is so perfect, is so infallible and so on. I believe astronomy, is a true science. Astrology is a false science. Bible says that Psalm 8, verse 3, someone has considered the moon and the stars. He didn't mention the sun there. Why? Because even in astronomy, our sun is a star. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is before astronomy. He didn't mention sun in verse 3 or something like that. He said moon and the stars. And in astronomy, our sun is a star. Praise the Lord. God is far ahead of that. Anyway, so our planetary system is called the solar system. Why do they say that? Because we use the word solar, right? To describe things relating to our star, meaning our sun, right? After the Latin word solis, that is the Latin word for the word sun. That's why we call it solar system and so on like that, our solar system is made up of our star or the sun, right? 8 planets, used to be 9, but the dwarf one, the Pluto is dwarf now, they call it the United States 8, but it's there. They don't categorize it as a planet right now, but it's there anyway. So our solar system is made up of of the sun, 8 planets, and countless smaller bodies such as dwarf planets, asteroids, and comets. Of the 8 planets in our solar system, talking about how great the heavens are, we begin from here in our solar system and so on. We step out there using the scriptures too and so on like that, So of the 8 planets in our solar system, only the 2 that are nearest to the sun are moonless. Mercury and Venus, they don't have any moon at all. So these are the nearest to the sun, right? They don't have any moon. Other ones, our own, of course, we have only one moon, right? Saturn and and Jupiter, they outnumber the other planets, the number of moons around them, They have many moons, and so on that, Jupiter and Saturn have many moons. Our own planet has only one. In fact, Pluto, the outermost planet, from the sun, in our solar system, it's smaller than our moon, but it has 5 moons around it. Can you imagine Pluto? It's smaller than our own moon, but it has its own 5 moons moving around it. Talking about the magnificence of God, the great creator, as long as that as long as that. Okay, so we go further. Now, So we have our solar system from our heart and so on. We go all the way. Pluto is the latest world. When you leave Pluto, and you are going out, you now have a great void of space in trillions of miles before you see anything else. And the fourth star you are going to see when you leave Pluto, it's a triple star system called the let me see what it's called now. It's a three system, three star system, called the Alpha Centauri is called and so on. It's a, it has three star system in it and so forth. Guess how far it is from here? From our solar system, 4.2 light years. And I told you 1 light year is what? About 6 trillion miles, right? So, and talking about the nearest star to our solar system being, paid by 4.2, that is at 25 trillion miles, from our solar system. Talking about the vastness of the heavens and so forth, it cannot be measured. That's what I'm trying to bring us now. Science is telling you that what God has already told us in His Word. I'm talking about, So anyway, even in our own solar system here, our moon, is about a quarter of a million away from here, about 250,000 miles from here. This is our moon and so forth, India. It takes life about 3 seconds for a round trip from this our heart to the moon. Now, see within our solar system, light will take about 40 minutes to reach Jupiter, telling you out at 180,000 miles per second, and over an hour to reach Saturn, and nearly 6 hours to reach Pluto, the outermost planet, and so on that, at 180,000 miles per second, and so on that, So we see the idea. Now, like I'm saying, when you leave our solar system, now you from Pluto, you have a gulf of space, trillions of miles and trillions and miles and so on like that, Now, I told you about the nearest star to us is the Alpha Centauri, and then it's about 4.2, light years away from here. No, 4.2 light years. One light year is about 6 trillion miles.
Light year.
Okay, so the nearest star to us is Alpha Centauri system, and it's 4.2 light years away. That's about 25 trillion miles for our solar system.
How many years?
I'm sorry?
How many years is that going
to be? No, I'm talking about distance now.
Okay,
distance. Yes.
The light year is how long it would take a year, how long light travels in 1 year.
Okay.
So when you turn on the light, you see how quickly it goes from your eyes to there. So nothing can travel faster than the speed of light in the whole universe that they know. So even if you can go as fast as light, which is impossibly fast, it would take you 4 years to get there.
Yeah, get that. Now, so just telling you how great, it's all about the Lord Jesus, as opposed to end it, how great He is. Even the psalmist exclaimed, when I consider the heavens, you see, he thought something. See, what is man? That even man could of him and so on, that, So we see right there. Now, beyond the moon, the sun, and the other planets, we are going deeper now. So, in our solar system, lies the galaxy. So when you leave our solar system and you cross that trillions of miles to get to the nearest star and so and that, what you already call galaxy. So the galaxy is nothing but a collection of stars held together by their mutual gravity Our solar system belongs to the galaxy called the Milky Way. That's our galaxy. Which is about 100,000 light years. That is 600,000 trillion miles away from here. We're going to run out of numbers quickly. And these are all scientific things, measured by scientific and so on, telling you God's word is infallible and so forth. I was wondering, God is allowing them to see these things. Perversion of them will repent, right? One of them got to the moon, when they landed on the moon, I think they brought a psalm with them. I think one of them brought the, I think the psalm, this same psalm 8. One of the astronauts, I went to the moon, they took it with them and so forth. You know, I acknowledge God. Anyway, so now, like I said before, so our solar system belongs to the Milky Way galaxy, and it's about 100,000 light years, which is 300,000 trillion miles from here. In diameter, that's how big. This galaxy, they're like Terica, you know, or near here and so on, you know. So that's how far it is and so on, you know. According to them, it contains at least about 200 to 400 billion stars, you know. That's what they are saying, astronomy, and that's an estimate. It's immeasurable, really, you know. So we have our solar system, and then we cross it, get to the first star, you know, Alpha Centauri and so on. Then we have collection we have galaxies, right, and so on, you know. Now, Milky Way is one of them. Then now you have many, many galaxies, you know, and they call them galaxy groups, you know. And what are they? Galaxy groups contain many, many galaxies, from 100 to 1,000. Now, one of them is called they have groups of them, of galaxies and so on. Now, there are even greater structures out there. You have what they call the galaxy cluster, you know. The clusters contain many more galaxies, from hundreds to thousands. And one of them, they call it the Coma cluster, for example, houses 1,000 individual galaxies and stretches over 20 million light years across. Mind-boggling number, you know, isn't it? And so on, that, you know. Now you have stars, you have galaxies, you have a galaxy group. No, that's not the end of it. Then you have galaxy clusters. That's not the end of it. There are galaxy superclusters, you know, and they are large collection of galaxy groups, clusters, and individual galaxies, and so forth. That's the end of it. No, they have yet even greater structures in the heavens. That's not that, you know. They have what they call the galactic walls. These are groupings of superclusters that form walls, or even like sheets of galaxies. These walls are like the largest known superstructures there is, and so on, that, you know. In what they call the observable universe. I like that word. They now know that they haven't even seen the universe yet. So they call it the observable universe. They are true science, you know, the true science, right? They now acknowledge. You see, the telescope ran out of view of the heavens and so on. So they call it the observable universe. And so on, that, you know. So telling you that what the Bible tells you, immeasurable. The heavens are immeasurable and so on. Anyway, so we see. Now scientists have since identified additional galactic worlds spanning billions of light years in their own language and so on, that, you know, billions. There appears, they say in their own words, to be no thinning of the universe. No thinning at all. But they continue on out to the utmost limits of telescopic view. Their scientific telescopes run out of view because of great distances and so on like that, you know. Fulfilling God's word, or confirming God's word, that the heavens are immeasurable. And they conclude, it appears that the universe is infinite as far as man is concerned. It's infinite. Bible says it cannot be measured, right? And the true science has to come to the Bible. Man, with his most sensitive and advanced instruments, finds there is similarly no end to the starry space of the earth. Exactly what God said in Jeremiah 31:37, and I read it again. If heaven above can be measured, cannot be measured. See, I'm talking about that, you know. And the foundation of the earth stretched out beneath. Then I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, hear the Lord. Now, the scriptures declare that man cannot even count the number of course. He even speculates that man cannot count the stars. The Lord, you know, he called Abraham out in Genesis chapter 15 and so on, like that, you know. Abraham was telling the Lord and so forth, you know, I have no here, this Eliama, you know, the servant in my house will be my heir and so forth, and that God makes covenant with him. What did God show Abraham to tell that he's going to have a seed? The heaven, Genesis 15:5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Yeah? Can't do it. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Maybe Abraham went out one night, a clear night, I'm just supposing now. Perhaps he could see, but maybe, I don't know, but maybe he can see like 2,500 stars. And maybe he said, well, I can count them. But he doesn't know that what he's seeing, there are two hemispheres, right? What he's seeing here is just one hemisphere. Below us is another hemisphere, you know, and so on. Having stars also, right? So maybe, so altogether, maybe see, which he didn't even know about, right? So the 2,500 stars that he saw, maybe and so on, we think that is the end of it. No, at all. There is much of that. So what I'm saying is, God says, you cannot even count the stars and so forth like that, you know. But the Almighty God, who is the creator, he cannot only count them. He knows the number of them. Infinite to man, but known unto God, and he gave them name. Praise the Lord. Let's see the Bible for that. Psalm 147. I want to read the first 5 verses. India, how great our God is. And so I ask, you know. Praise the Lord, he said. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, he does it today too, and bindeth up their wound. Now look at this verse. He telleth the number of the stars, he knows them. And then he called them all by their name. Praise the Lord. Great is our Lord, he said, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Praise the Lord. What man cannot remember, he said, you already said man can never number them. They have invented all kinds of telescopes, the latest one is JWT, James Webb, you know, telescope and so forth, the most advanced telescope in the world and so on, you know. Can't count them, it's impossible. But God knows the number of them and even has names of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. More about that, Isaiah 40 verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his arm? Can you imagine that the water, all the oceans of the world and so forth, in the hollow of God's hand and stuff like that, you know? And measured out heaven with his span. All those infinite heavens above just with the span of God and like that, you know. He says and told that, you know. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scale, and the hills, you know, in a balance. How great our Lord is. Let him see more. Now, even science has reached a far-reaching discovery. What they call the doctrine of the expanding universe. That's scientific now. The doctrine of the expanding universe. Meaning that the stars and the universe are spreading out, the uttermost of which are moving at a speed approaching that of light. They are saying that the activity of the universe is expanding out rapidly, even at the speed of light. Can you imagine that? You know, I don't know that, you know. The significance of the discovery is that God was stretching and spreading out his creation to fill the infinitude of space, as the Bible reveals to us. Let me show you that verse in the Bible, Jeremiah 10:12. What they are finding out, God has spoken about before, that the universe is expanding at the speed of light almost. Now, Jeremiah 10:12. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens, see, stretching it out, by his discretion, the Bible says. Is that the only scripture? No. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covered thyself with light, as with a garment, Now watch this one. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Praise it, I know. See, two times we are going to Bible all the time and all that, you know. Now, Isaiah 40, the 21st verse, talking about this expansion, the out stretching out and so on, God stretching them out. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has he not been told you from the beginning? Has he not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Let me stop right there for now. For many, many years, until lately and so forth, men think the heart was flat, right? Even till today, some people don't even believe that the heart is not flat. I'm telling you right now, some people, they think the heart is still flat and so on. You know, and some of that, you know. But the Bible already told us, that's in the Bible, right there in verse 22 of Isaiah 40. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, all those human history, where they were thinking the heart was flat, I hope they could have read the Bible and see what the Creator said about the creation. Anyway, it is he that seated upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers. Now what is that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. So the matter is now saying that the universe is expanding, spreading out, the extremity of which is at almost at the speed of light. Job 9:4. He is wise in heart, talking about the Almighty God, and mighty in strength, who has added himself against him and has prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger. Verse 6. Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commanded the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. That verse alone will take a whole sermon. I'm going to skip, I got to keep on going. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Let me talk about those verse 9 a little bit. Now we have heard that he spread them out, right? Like the Bible says, Jeremiah and all that, you know. Now he mentioned some astronomical objects here in verse 9. Let's just kind of talk about them a little bit and so forth. What is it? He said the Pleiades, right? You know, so the Pleiades was, it's a cluster of stars, you know. Beautiful, and so on like that, you know. As a good eye, I can see only 7 stars out of it with a good sight. 7 stars only. But with the aid of photographic surveys and so forth, people have seen about 250 stars in that constellation called the Pleiades. Now, how big it is, the Pleiades are some 440 light years from the Earth. That Pleiades is 440 years, light years from the Earth. See? Now that is 440 times 6 trillion miles, right? That's what you are talking about and so on. You mentioned Orion. That is a very, very common cluster you can see. Anybody can identify that in the heavens. It's very, very easy to see. Orion is a cluster of stars surrounded by a gigantic nebula. 26 light years across. That's how big it is and so on and that, you know. The ultraviolet radiation from the stars causes the nebula to flourish like a neon lamp in the heavens. The Orion cloud is one of the amazing signs of the heaven. It is one of the most easily identified, almost every night you see out there, you know. And you know, you can see at the middle of it is what they call the Orion belt. There are 3 stars. They call it the belt. Don't think about anything. So, one of the stars on those beds is 1,600 light years away from here. See? Talking about the magnificence of the Almighty God as under that, you know, and the heaven that has created and so forth. Let's talk about Arcturus, he said. Now, that is an orange giant star in the heaven. It's the 4th brightest in the night sky. How far it is? 37 light years from the earth. And 26 times the size of our sun. Wow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Yes, indeed. Our God does great things. Past finding now. Yes. I wonder without number, as Job 9:10 says. The Bible is, we always be an up-to-date book. I mean, over any scientific finding, which is true. So it is always the timely book and so on. Today, man is only on the borders of God's work. We have only heard a whisper of him concerning the creation and some of that, you know. Now, we can begin to understand. I've said just very little of volume I could have spoken about this morning. Just very little of it and so forth. Now we can begin to understand Psalm 8, 3 to 4 that we began with. When I consider the heavens, right, the work of thy finger, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou art visited him? So now, and Psalm 97 says this, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Praise be the Lord. All things to his glory and so forth, you know. Do you know what? The heavens is the first Bible, really. Before there was any written to you, the heavens is the first Bible. What is he talking about? Now, as I know, there are 12 constellations, you know, in the heavens that begin with Virgo and end with Leo, right? Virgo is the virgin that the Bible talks about and so forth, in the Bible and so forth. And the virgin in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman and so on. And then Leo, the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I won't go into that one right now, but I'm saying it's the first Bible, really, you know. So we have the Bible in stone, like I said before, the Great Pyramid and so on and that, you know. So don't get confused with astrology. It's really, as we have said this morning, all I've said are brought us from the Bible. You know, God spoke about them. That's the way to look at things in the light of God's word. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Now the Lord, so let me end up with the great creator. The great creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. All I show you that he is the great creator. He created Hebrews 11:3. True faith. You understand? Forget about Big Bang. There's no such thing. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Sir. Let every man be a liar. And let God be true. Amen? What said the Bible in the very first verse of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? That's it, period. God created the heaven and the earth. Let every man be a liar, let God be true. Genesis 1:1 says so and so on that. Anyway, so Hebrews 11:3, true faith. You understand? I mean, I see that great man, scientist and so forth. And what is his name now? At one time, you know, he said the right thing. He said God does not play dice with the universe. You know. But one time, he was talking about Big Bang, maybe before he believed and so on. He was a Jew born in Germany and so on, you know. Anyway, he said God doesn't play dice with the universe. I think when it came to his spiritual senses, I believe. Praise to the Lord. No such as a Big Bang, people. Nothing like, that the first time, to the science, you know, that they call. So God created all things and so on that way. Anyway, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So they were framed. The Bible put word, it put S on the word. So I'm telling you now, there are universes out there, praise the Lord. Yeah, universes out there and so on. Could I be talking about and so on. So that the words put up were framed by the word of God. Who is the word of God? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in Revelation 19:13. It says this. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was clothed with a vessel dipped in blood. And his name is called the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. He is the creator. I want to go further about that to really let us know. Maybe I have some children here who are going to school too. When they talk about big, there's no such thing as Big Bang and some of that, you know. Anyway. And in John 1:3, all things were made by him. That's the Lord Jesus. All things, I don't care what they are, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the world knew him not. See? Colossians 1:16. For by him, the Lord Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, see? And that in earth, visible and invisible. You see? The invisible can be two. Macroscopic. How do you say that? The microscope, right? Or macroscopic. Infinitely large. Look at the heavens. Who could see them without telescope and so on? Visible and invisible, right? Bible says that and so on. That, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, keep on saying, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Praise be the Lord. Ephesians 3:9 says, God created all things by Jesus Christ. He is the creator. All things are new. I can't say any more than the Bible has said here. That's who he is, you know. And now, this morning, no matter what you need, you know, he is still creating today. In his early ministry, one time, John the Baptist said he was in prison and so on. Go ask him, are you the one to call or should we look for another? The Lord told him, the messengers in Luke 7:22, go tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind saw, the lame walked, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf heard, the dead were raised, see, in his earthly ministry and so on like that, you know. So, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and something like that, you know. One time, talking about creative miracles and so forth, out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, fed 5,000 people. And at another time, with 7 loaves, he fed 4,000 people. That's in Matthew 16:9-10, in summary of it. But those miracles are in Matthew 14:15, you know, something like that, you know. But summarize them. They were going somewhere, and the Lord was telling the disciples and so forth, beware of the level of the Pharisees. So they were thinking that, talking about loaf of bread, ye of little faith. So when I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves, now how many loaves do you gather? So are you talking about loaves now? Talking about hypocrisy, not of the Pharisees and so on like that, you know. Anyway, so we see right there. Now, and there are also, now let me look at John 21. I'm finishing up here. I'm saying that he is still creating today. Whatever you need, he's working miracles today. We have testimonies today. No matter what you need on this earth, the Lord can supply. And we supply. Now let me read one verse to you in John 21, about the last verse in there. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. The wish, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen, he says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to say this morning, having seen all those wonderful things, I'm not just touching the tip of the iceberg of what the Lord does and so on like that. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So, in your life as a Christian, know it for sure. Whatever you need, the Bible says, he will give it to you. John 16:23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He said, whatsoever, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. Assurance to every child of God. Whatever. I like that whatever. What the Bible says, I like it so much. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Matthew 21, last scripture here. Matthew 21:22. Look at this again. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Sounds too good to be true, right? But it is true. Praise the Lord Jesus. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And we just kind of close it out there, it is true, all things are so like that, you know. I keep on going. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All Bible says the heavens declare his righteousness. All the people see his glory. Father, we thank you. They have polluted this, but we know, oh Lord God, how great thou art, Lord. And look at these prophecies here, Lord. The Bible says, oh Lord God, what things about you desire when you pray, believe in another scripture, and you shall have it. So we thank you because you are here for us, Lord. Whatever we ask in your name, we will receive. Thank you, Father. The Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Lord, we thank thee, Lord. Say nothing good. We live with hope from them that walk uprightly. Yea, that spare not his own son, but deliver him for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Father, we thank you for so much caring for us, Lord. So this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus, all the names which are represented here, which are according to the will of God, Father, I commit them to you, Lord. Having read how great thou art, how much you loved us, Lord. All the needs represented here this morning, Lord, meet them, Father. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Standing on that scripture, that whatever we shall ask the Father in my name, that I will do it. So no matter what they are, I say all things, right? Our God shall supply all your needs, he says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Don't let us limit him as they limited him in the wilderness and so forth. And I say, limit not the Holy One of Israel. We have had our grace in him. So we thank you this morning. So all this needs, no. Spoken and unspoken request this morning. It has charged the heart. Note what is in the mind of the Spirit, and it does make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I commit all this request to your hand this morning. Put up your hands to the air, every one of you. If you have any kind of a need, put up your hand in the air. The Lord will not need now to, you are putting it to the Lord, and Lord meet them, Lord. Even the things they don't even know that they need this morning, Lord grant them, Lord, which are according to your will. That our joy may be full in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your word is infallible, Lord, we know they are done. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's a miracle working God.